Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll free, 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello and welcome to our Big Monday show. I know I maybe come off across as a braggart because of how great I think our Monday shows are, but this show will not disappoint. A bit later, Archbishop Salvatore Cordileone of San Francisco will be here. I'm going to ask him about the big walk for life up there. But we're going to spend most of the hour talking about liturgy and beauty and liturgical music and beautiful liturgical music. And it's going to be a great hour with the Archbishop. This hour, we tackle perhaps the deepest divide of our age, the divide over whether God still matters. Our guest this hour, Carlo Broussard, staff apologist and speaker extraordinaire here at Catholic Answers. Hi, Carlo. How are you?
Hey, Si. I'm doing great, brother.
And you got a book coming out sometime this spring.
Yes, sir. I'm excited to say my first book that'll be coming out, a published book, if you don't count the booklet, the 20 Answers booklet on miracles, but this will be my first full-length book that will be published by Catholic Answers Press here at Catholic Answers. And sometime this spring, we don't know exactly when, but we're working on getting the manuscript all prettied up and ready to go. The title's Prepare the Way. Mm-hmm. Subtitle, How to Overcome Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. And the motif of the book is, it comes from, you know, the prophet Isaiah, prepare the way of the Lord, and in particular, the ministry of John the Baptist, sort of making low those hills and mountains and filling in the valleys as our Lord approaches bearing the gifts of truth and life. So for many folks out there, particularly unbelievers, there are many intellectual obstacles and even emotional obstacles that stand in the way of them embracing the truth and the life that Jesus has to offer them. So for example, when it comes to truth, how can I believe in truth when there are so many people who believe so many different things? Or when it comes to God, how can I believe in God when there's so much evil in the world? Or how can I believe in Jesus when I can't even really know that the New Testament documents are reliable? Or how can I be a Christian when Christians believe in the Old Testament where God did some things seem pretty bad and stuff, you know, type of thing? And then when it comes to the church, various obstacles that stand in the way of embracing Catholicism, how can the church be opposed to same-sex sexual activity and other obstacles as well? So in the book, I teach you, the reader, and instruct you on various strategies and how to remove these intellectual and emotional obstacles in order to prepare the way as our Lord comes approaching the unbeliever or the believer who's struggling with some of these obstacles, in order for that person to embrace that truth and that life that Jesus has to offer. So it's kind of like a coaching manual for those out there who are interested in evangelizing, and also, too, for anybody who is struggling with the obstacles and are willing and have an open mind to look at the ways in which we would think through these obstacles, right? And hopefully it'll be helpful for folks out there.
I'm sure it will.
I'm looking forward to it and see how it does. I had a lot of fun writing it and researching for it, but we'll see.
Prepare the Way, How to Overcome Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. That'll be coming out sometime this spring. We don't know the exact date, but today we focus kind of on God. Why God Still Matters is our topic. 888-318-7884 is the number if you'd like to talk with Carlo about why God still matters. 888-318-7884. Perhaps you think that God doesn't matter because there's no longer reason to believe in God, or if you're not sure about God, what's God's place in the modern world? Maybe you're you have someone in your life who no longer believes that God matters, and you'd like to know how to address that. 888-318-7884, the number. You have an article out. It's coming up in the next magazine called Why Science Can't Eliminate God.
Yeah, something like that. The title's still working on it, Why Science Can't Do Away with God, but the same idea.
Yeah.
And this is one of the major reasons, Si, that many atheists will propose of why God no longer matters.
Yeah.
So even somebody might even go so far as to say, well, God may exist, but we don't really need to appeal to him in order to explain the universe because science can get the job done. And the underlying assumption being that science is sufficient, natural science, that is, science is sufficient to explain everything about everything, about the universe, to where we don't need to posit some sort of transcendent creator in order to explain why things exist here and now. And so in the article, I give reasons why this claim is false. Fundamentally, the basic gist of the argument is that natural science side presupposes certain things about the material universe that it cannot possibly, because it presupposes those things, it cannot possibly explain those things.
Yeah.
So, for example, science presupposes the reality of change itself. Okay, so any sort of scientific experiment that you're going to perform, it presupposes change. First of all, you're going to observe something, some sort of phenomenon, and then you're going to offer a hypothesis and test the hypothesis, and then you're going to change with regard to your knowledge about what is real within the universe, first of all. And then secondly, the scientific experiment itself is going to imply change. If I have, as I point out in the article, if I'm testing, you know, the degree of heat needed to melt natural rubber and turn it into a lump of goo, right? Well, whenever that scientific experiment takes place, change is going to occur because the rubber is going to go from not being a lump of goo to being a lump of goo.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, here's what's interesting, Cy, is change, which in philosophy, in the philosophical jargon, we would say is the actualization of a potency, where something has a potential for some actual state of being, and then it actually has that state of being.
Right.
Potentially a lump of goo to being a lump of goo, right? For the natural rubber. And that is the very starting, at least one of the many starting points for reasoning to God's existence. So if science presupposes change, and change is the very starting point for the argument for God's existence, then science cannot possibly explain away the need for God.
Its own assumptions are part of the explanation.
That's right. Yeah. The assumption of science, that which is needed for science to even get off the ground, is the very starting point for natural theology, which is the study of God according to the natural light of human reason. And then upon further philosophical analysis, when you break down change and what change itself involves, we uncover certain features about the material universe and what we call philosophy of nature, which is a branch of philosophy that studies material beings and what material beings, the principles of material beings. We say like the substantial form and the matter and the efficient causes and find all of this stuff. Well, the point being, the bottom line, Cy, is that when you unpack what change involves, there are certain features about the material universe that are also the very starting points for reasoning to God's existence. And we see this embodied in St. Thomas Aquinas' Five Ways in the Summa Theologia, and even in his work on being and essence, where he talks about, you know, contingent things or
things
that depend on other things for their existence. They don't have existence by nature,
right.
So they need to be caused to exist by something else. Well, that contingent nature, right, the fact that something's dependent upon something else for its existence, science presupposes those kinds of things because you need something existing in order to observe it, right, and to empirically verify it, et cetera. Well, that's the very starting point. The very existence of something
is
the very starting point for reasoning to God's existence. So science could not possibly, in principle, explain these presuppositions or fundamental assumptions.
Yeah.
And if these assumptions are the starting points for reasoning to God's existence, science cannot, in principle, pontificate, right, speak with regard to the existence of God, much less explain God away.
Right.
So these are some of the things that I unpack in the forthcoming article for our March and April Catholic Answers Magazine edition.
888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. Carlo Broussard, our guest this hour, we're talking about why God still matters. Do you have any interest, or does it come up in your philosophizing and theologizing, this question, why is there something rather than nothing? Is that a big part of what you do?
Amen. That's the fundamental question.
And that's
right?
not a question that science can answer.
That is not a question that science can answer, precisely because that something
already exists
is presupposed by science. Because in order to do natural science, you need something existing in order to observe. When we ask the question why that something exists, that's a philosophical question that is outside the boundaries of natural empirical science or the discipline of empirical science. And so it can only be answered with the tool of philosophy.
Right.
And when you work out the answer to that question, I would argue, you ultimately come to some, you know, as St. Thomas Aquinas would say, uncaused cause, or to use the, you know, scholastic jargon, the unactualized actualizer, you might say, or, you know, in other words, you come to God. And God is ultimately the answer for why something exists rather than not existing.
I have to say, I've read some of the new atheists or scientific atheists' answers to that, and they all seem to, maybe I'm being judgmental, but they seem somewhat anti-intellectual. They seem to be along the lines of, well, there is something, so don't worry about it. The point is that it just is. Existence just is.
Yeah, it is interesting that you see among many very sophisticated atheistic scientists that when it comes to, you know, the universe itself, when you you know, laws upon laws, layers of laws of nature upon layers of laws of nature, fundamentally some will say, well, it's just a brute fact. Even the famous Bertrand Russell, a famous 20th century atheistic philosopher, you know, stated in a very famous public debate with Father Copleston that the universe just is. And we don't necessarily have to ask why the universe.
But we do ask why.
That's right. It's the fundamental drive of human nature to know and to ask the question why. Now, on the face value, we initially react to that and say that's absurd, but it does demand a response, and we can give reasons why something just can't be a brute fact. Because fundamentally, if you make that claim, you undermine what is called the principle of sufficient reason. You're saying something exists,
but I have no reason for it.
But have no reason for its existence.
Yeah.
And we can attack that claim. We can go at that claim and show how that claim it reduces to logical absurdity because it's denying one of the fundamental principles of human reason. Because if you say something can exist without a reason for its existence, ultimately, Si, the bottom line, you're going to have to end up denying rationality itself.
Yeah, right.
That's right. Because if something can exist without a reason for its existence, well, then my claims could possibly exist without any sort of logical connection to any premise that would substantiate its truth value.
Yeah.
Well, in that case, why are we even talking? Why are we even debating about
it? Why God still matters is our topic this hour. 888-31-TRUTH, our number. Lots of people on the line. We'll get to those calls right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Don't you just love listening to Carlo Broussard? Did you know you can book Carlo or any of our other great speakers to speak at your parish or special event? Contact one of our seminar coordinators through the Speakers Bureau section on Catholic.com today to find out more information.
January is Pro-Life Month, and to get as many people as we can involved in the pro-life cause, we're making Trent Horn's book, Persuasive Pro-Life, and his DVD, Making the Case for Life, available for just $5 each. That's a savings of over 70%. Both the book and the DVD were made specifically with you in mind, to help you engage in sustained and meaningful dialogue, and to give you the tools you need to change people's hearts and minds so that together we might build up a pro-life culture, one person, one conversation at a time. To get your copies of the book, Persuasive Pro-Life, or the DVD, Making the Case for Life, for just $5 each, just call 1-888-291-8000 or visit the shop at Catholic.com.
Pope Francis said, "The key that opens the door to faith is prayer." Join St. Paul Street Evangelization by running a prayer station in the public square. You don't need to be a professional apologist or theologian. Just listen to the needs of the people you encounter. offer encouragement, take prayer requests, and pray with people. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Atheists have a new tactic when it comes to talking about the existence of God. Your arguments in favor of God don't even deserve a reply, they say. Because not only does God not exist, he doesn't even matter. In his new DVD, Why God Still Matters, apologist Carlo Broussard doesn't let them off so easy. He takes apart the premises of those who say God's irrelevant and teaches you what you need to demonstrate why God is just as important. In fact, in today's world, more important than ever. Don't let atheists shut down the argument before it begins. Get your copy of Why God Still Matters by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Carlo Broussard, our guest this hour. We're discussing why God still matters. If you have a view on that, maybe that God doesn't matter, or maybe that you need some help explaining it to someone else why God still matters, give us a call, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Lots of calls, so if you don't mind, Carl, let's take a few of them.
All right, let's give it a shot.
All right, Jackie in Charleston, South Carolina, listening on 7:30 a.m. You are up first with Carlo Broussard.
Hello. First of all, I'd like to say that I am a convert to Catholicism.
Okay, and, welcome home.
Thank you. I have done a lot of, I would say, I'm very analytical, so as much as I'm faithful, I have done a lot of study, and you know, and also I would say every Catholic, cradle Catholic, should go through RCIA again, because it teaches them so much about probably things
sure.
they don't even know. But while I was listening to this, and by the way, I'm late to a meeting called Alpha.org. I'm not sure if you're aware of it, but it's in the Catholic Church. Has their own, but I'm going to an Anglican church where it's people just sharing their faith and sharing it with people that have come new into Christianity, whatever. So I can't wait to tell them my excuse is that I was on Catholic radio.
That's a good conversation starter, isn't it?
That is your dog ate your homework.
Yeah.
Right. So anyway, I wanted to say you guys answered a lot of my questions and your discussion since I called about, you know, what you guys have researched or what, you know, Broussard, should I call you Father Broussard? Or you just
I'm not a father. You can just say Carlo.
Well, he is a father, but children.
That's right. I'm not a priest.
Okay, well, that's all right.
You're okay, so how can I help you?
Okay, what I wanted to say was that, first of all, need we ask, why God is still important, or what was the main question?
Why is God still so important
in the world?
Why God still matters.
Just do we need any more evidence than just to look at our world? That's why he still matters. And what I try to explain to so many people who are either atheists and or have been, you know, were going to church when they were younger and have fallen away from the church, and or a lot of the kids growing up, new millennials that don't attend church because their parents weren't as good about taking you to church, and they think they know everything. My point with them is that faith is hard to grasp. Yet, what you all just made very obvious with in supporting evidence is that you cannot come up with why scientists are right if there's no premise for the world that they're right about.
Okay.
And that's not the right way to phrase it. But also, there has got to be something bigger than us, period.
Carl, I'd like to get a response to that.
Yeah, well, one thing, Jackie, you were making in your comments was, isn't it enough evidence that there is the world around us? And so the implication being that we look at the world, we look at the cosmos, and then we're able to reason to the existence of a creator. Now, that statement is true, Jackie. There's various different aspects of that. So, for example, some philosophers and even theistic scientists will say we can look at the cosmos and look at the complexity of the universe and then reason to the need of a supercalculating intellect in order to sufficiently and reasonably explain that complexity of the universe. So that's one way in which we can go about doing what you do, doing what you said to do, look at the universe and then reason to God. And now another way that we could go about doing it, which is more classically, which we find in the writings of St. Thomas Aquinas, which have their origins in even the writings of the ancient Greek philosopher Aristotle, is that is looking at mundane things of the universe, Sai. So the existence of change itself, when I move my mouse to move the mouse on the computer, our very existence itself, the fact that something is, that I exist rather than not exist, the fact that the tree exists out there rather than not exist, these mundane features of the universe can be starting points for reasoning to the existence of God. So your claim is true that, yes, the evidence for God is in the cosmos. By looking at the cosmos, starting with these fundamental features that we experience, and then philosophically reason to God's existence as the ultimate ground or ultimate explanation of these fundamental features. So yes, you're right on the money, Jackie, in saying that we can look to the cosmos and then reason back to God's existence. And that's one way by which we can do that.
Jackie, lots and lots of calls, so I'm going to keep moving. Thank you very, very much for that call. Let's go to Ryan in St. Joseph, Missouri, listening on 106.7 FM. Ryan, you are on with Carlo Broussard.
Hey, guys. I'm 18. I'm still in high school, and wow, it is hard to compose a sentence when you know a lot of people are listening.
It's okay, Ryan. We're in the same boat, brother. I'm just as nervous as you, my friend.
Doubtful, but what I was going to say was I'm questioning why God still matters because I'm having a crisis of faith. I went through Lyme disease in my childhood, and it nearly ended me. I asked God for help. He didn't, and instead, I turned to my parents and doctors, and they helped me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to wrap my head around, if God does love me and he is responsible for everything, then why would he let that happen to me?
Right.
Wow.
Right.
Ryan, thank you.
Yeah, Ryan, this is the fundamental problem that we all have to face, believer and unbeliever alike, and that is the problem of evil, of God's allowance and permission of sin in the world, but also suffering in the world, in this case, suffering for you, my friend. Now, there's different ways that we can go about trying to work through this question, Ryan. You know, if the question is the existence of this suffering or God's permission of this suffering when he has the power to stop it incompatible with his divine goodness, well, then the answer to that question would be no, it's not incompatible because I can think, Ryan, I can think of instances even in my own experience and maybe even in your own experience, Ryan, where you know, I permit certain things to happen. Like, for example, when my kids get a scrape on the knee or they get a cut and my wife is applying peroxide to clean out the wound and my kid is screaming and hollering because it burns and my wife, in a sense, is inflicting pain upon my child. Now, I have the power to stop my wife from inflicting that pain, but I permit it. Why? Now, here's the question. Does my permission of that suffering, even though I have the power to stop it, count against my goodness as a father? And the answer is no, Ryan. Why? Because I am aware of the greater good that can be brought about from the permission of this suffering. Similarly, the fact that God permits suffering in our lives in no way is incompatible with his goodness because there is no greater good that he cannot bring about from his permission of suffering. As St. Thomas Aquinas, following St. Augustine from the 4th century, would say, God permits suffering and evil in this life only insofar as he will bring about a greater good. So just because one permits suffering, even though having the power to stop it, that doesn't follow from that, that permission of suffering counts against one's goodness. Now, somebody might say, Ryan, well, I can't see any good that would come from this permission of suffering. Well, that's something that we would expect given our limitations of our cognitive faculties, right? And our limited knowledge, and we're confined in space and time. God's infinite in knowledge. And just because we don't know of a greater good, it doesn't follow that there is no greater good. So once again, if the question is, does God's permission of suffering count against his goodness, is incompatible with his goodness, the answer would be no. So that's sort of the intellectual approach to it, Ryan. Now, in the Christian faith, if we look, Ryan, at your situation through the lens of Christianity, because, I hear the song there, Ryan. So if you can hang on, I'll get back to you on the other side of the break. Right, Si?
Yep. Hang on, Ryan. We'll be right back to address your important question, or continue addressing your important question. Why does God matter? That's our question this hour. Carlo Broussard is here to provide answers. 888-318-7884 is the number. We'll be right back with more after this.
Catholic Answers Live.
EWTN. Helping people grow in their love and understanding of God.
Others that I would say definitely made an impact now is EWTN, and I go and walk at the park every day at lunch listening to you guys and being able to learn a lot more about the faith, learn a lot of other perspectives that I may have not have thought about. So I just want to thank y'all for being a big influence.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Do you subscribe to Catholic Answers Magazine? We hope, but if not, right now we've got a deal that you're going to love. We've reduced the price and thrown in a free digital subscription when you subscribe. That's right, subscriptions to Catholic Answers Magazine just got cheaper, $10 less on one-year subscriptions and $20 less on two-year subscriptions. And right now, when you purchase a subscription, you get a subscription to the digital edition added to your order for free. With a deal like that, it's the perfect gift for friends, family members, seminarians, your priest, even yourself. When you get right down to it, what other gift has the potential to touch hearts and reap eternal rewards? Log on today to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com and sign up yourself, your friends, and your family for a magazine that is bound to make a difference in their lives and the lives of those they meet. Share the faith. Defend the faith. Catholic Answers Magazine from Catholic Answers, the most trusted name in Catholic apologetics.
Tim Staples, Trent Horn, Cy Kellett, Chris Check, Carlo Broussard. Our On Fire lineup of speakers will inform and inspire your audience to grow in their Catholic faith. For more information on booking a Catholic Answers speaker for your event, visit CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com today.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Carlo Broussard, apologist, speaker, and now author of a brand new, just about to come out, book is our guest this hour. The book will be Prepare the Way, How to Overcome Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. Our topic this hour, why God still matters. And we're speaking with Ryan in St. Joseph, Missouri, who contracted Lyme disease as a child and suffered a great deal through that, and wonders, with even though he cried out to God for help,
right,
that it didn't seem that God helped him. And so how does God matter in Ryan's life? You were tackling that.
Ryan, you still there, brother?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, now, before the break, what I was providing you was sort of a starting point in order to ground your mind, because if we can know at least intellectually, at least, that God's permission of suffering is not incompatible with his goodness, because knowing that he's infinite in power, he can bring about a greater good that would outweigh the suffering that he permits. That's one approach. We ground ourselves on that intellectual truth. But Ryan, it can only take us so far. You see, because God actually revealed himself through his son, Jesus Christ. Now, granted, that would take some legwork in order to establish that claim. But consider this, Ryan, that in Christianity, we believe that Jesus revealed to us that God didn't leave us to our own in the midst of our suffering, that he actually provides a means by which we can actually transform our very sufferings into a tool that we can use for our own benefit, namely to achieve final salvation in our lives, to grow in holiness, but also to contribute to the salvation of others. And Christianity reveals to us also, Ryan, that in the afterlife in heaven, which is a definitive state of supreme satisfaction and happiness, St. Paul teaches that the glory of heaven, there is no suffering in this life that pales in comparison to the glory in heaven that will be revealed in us to outweigh all of the suffering that God permits in this life. So my suggestion to you, Ryan, is that God, when you called out for God for help, God sometimes doesn't necessarily act directly in our lives, but God wills to use other people, Ryan. He will to use your mother and your father to whom you turn to for help. He will to use the doctors to whom you turn to for help. He's willing to use myself and Cy, to whom you're turning to answer this very question about his permission of suffering, because that's the way God set it up. He wants to use human instruments to be his hands and his feet to minister to others and to communicate his blessings. And Ryan, I would share with you that God ultimately does that through Christianity, through his son, Jesus Christ, and through the church that Jesus established, through which we get the graces that we need, Ryan, in order to bear these sufferings and these trials in our lives, united with Jesus Christ, which can actually benefit our own souls, the souls of others, and actually contribute, Ryan, to our final salvation of heaven, where all will be redeemed. And that, Ryan, can be a message of hope in the midst of the suffering. Now, granted, we don't know exactly why God allowed that particular suffering in your life and what that particular good is exactly. But we do know, Ryan, philosophically and in light of Christian revelation, that God will ultimately bring about a greater good, that greater good being eternal life with him in heaven, which will outweigh and offset whatever suffering you experience and that I experience in this life.
How does that all strike you there, Ryan?
Honestly, it took me a lot of courage to call and talk to you about this.
We appreciate that.
To talk to you about this, I had to remember some of my older and much less pleasant memories.
Right.
But
go ahead, Ryan.
Hold on. The reason I called was, and you guys have helped me a great deal, thank you. I just wanted it to end. I wanted it to stop, and
right. It
didn't seem like God did anything. And that's why I had to turn to my mother, my father, and those doctors. And
that's
when I started questioning if God even cared or mattered, if he wasn't going to do anything to help.
Right. Well, I'll just leave you with this, Ryan, that God does love you. He does care about you. And he did care for you, number one, through the means, through the activity, through the help of your mother and your father and the doctors to whom you turn to. Because, Ryan, the gifts that your mother and your father and the doctor have to minister to you in your time of need are gifts from Almighty God, first and foremost. And then secondly, Ryan, there are mysterious ways in which God works in our lives in the midst of our suffering that we simply cannot see the effects of those activities of God working in the soul right now. As time goes on, and it might not even be till the end of time when you stand before Christ, when you see finally how God used the present sufferings he allowed and ordered them ultimately to your greater good. And we have good reason, Ryan, to hope in the promise of Jesus Christ that he will set all things right.
Ryan, hang on. I'd like to send you a book. Our friends on Facebook are recommending all kinds of books for you, including Avoiding Bitterness and Suffering, a fine book by Rhonda Shervin, and Making Sense Out of Suffering, Peter Crave's book.
Right.
But I want to send you The Problem of Evil by our own Jimmy Akin. If you'll hang on, Aline will get your number and we'll send you that book. Again, Ryan, thanks very much for that call. Call anytime. 888-318-7884 is our number. Why God Still Matters is our topic. Our guest is Carlo Broussard, and we go now to Alex in San Antonio, Texas, listening on EWTN Radio. Alex, your question for Carlo Broussard.
Hi, how's it going?
All right, brother.
So my question is, what if someone doesn't care about the intellectual reasons that God matters, and they have emotional barriers to that?
Right.
What can you do to help someone that's in that situation?
Okay. All right. Well, first of all, it depends on the context and the situation and the type of relationship that you have with the individual, Alex. I mean, for example, if you have a friendship with this individual, and initially you discern that they're sort of closed off to any sort of rational dialogue about God's existence, etc., well, then my advice would be simply to be friends with them and to engage in that relationship with the individual, to let that person see the light of Christ in your own life, the fact that you're living a joy-filled life, the fact that you're following the dictates of reason, that you personally are being an intelligent human being. You're not just, acting based upon a blind impulse of the mind, that your faith is rational, it's reasonable, etc. So if you have the relationship, you can emphasize, start with just keeping that contact, keeping that physical relationship with them, being in their presence to let them see your life testimony, and looking out for the opportunities in order to engage in rational dialogue. That is, two ways you can do that. Number one, you could just straight up ask them a question in natural conversation when you're at the coffee shop or at the pub or wherever you're at, right? Or you can wait for them to make some sort of claim. And whenever that person makes a claim relative to God, Jesus, religion, the church, whatever it may be, well, then you can follow up with the question of why. Because remember, Alex, every claim is in some form or manner going to be based upon some reason, right? I mean, there has to be some reason that led the person to make the claim that they're making. So whenever the person makes the claim, you simply ask why. And then in natural conversation, if they're willing, they may very well give you the reason that led them to that claim, because everybody's interested in telling their story, right? I mean, everybody's interested in that. So you ask the question, why? And then, Alex, once they give the reason, well, then you're able to begin talking about that reason, asking follow-up questions about the premises, right, that they're basing their conclusions on. And whenever you can see errors or sort of intellectual consistencies within those premises, you can charitably point those out and say, well, have you ever considered this? Or have you ever considered that? What do you think about this? Those are the type of questions perhaps that you can ask. Now, that's one scenario where you have this friendship and relationship. Now, Alex, there are times when we face an individual, they make an objection against God based upon emotion rather than reason, and they're not interested in having any sort of rational dialogue. Well, then fundamentally, Alex, we have to discern that nothing we say is going to help. So we simply have to walk away or move to another subject and not cast our pearls before the swine. Sometimes it's just impossible to go forward if an individual is not willing to engage in a rational discourse of going back and forth. Because whenever there's purely emotions involved, all you can do is be calm, kind, loving, and charitable. And there's pretty much no room for rational discourse. So it's not a cookie cut mode answer. Alex, you sort of have to discern each individual circumstance and try to feel the waters, so to speak, and figure out where you can swim and where you can't. Is that helpful for you, Alex?
Yeah, that was really helpful.
Okay.
Well, cool. Thank you.
Thank you, Alex. We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Carlo Broussard and Why God Still Matters on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
Catholic Answers. Our success depends on you.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their Catholic values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Hi, this is Trent Horn, and I'm here with a couple of very special offers for all of you interested in standing up for the rights of the unborn. January is Pro-Life Month, and to get as many people as we can involved in the pro-life cause, we're making my book, Persuasive Pro-Life, and my DVD, Making the Case for Life, available for just $5 each. That's a saving of over 70%. I wrote this book and I made this DVD specifically with you in mind, to help you engage in sustained and meaningful dialogue and give you the tools you need to change people's hearts and minds, so that together we might build up a pro-life culture, one person, one conversation at a time. To get your copies of my book, Persuasive Pro-Life, or my DVD, Making the Case for Life, for just $5, call 1-888-291-8000 or visit the shop at Catholic.com.
Do you subscribe to Catholic Answers Magazine? We hope, but if not, right now we've got a deal that you're going to love. We've reduced the price and thrown in a free digital subscription when you subscribe. That's right, subscriptions to Catholic Answers Magazine just got cheaper, $10 less on one-year subscriptions and $20 less on two-year subscriptions. And right now, when you purchase a subscription, you get a subscription to the digital edition added to your order for free. With a deal like that, it's the perfect gift for friends, family members, seminarians, your priest, even yourself. When you get right down to it, what other gift has the potential to touch hearts and reap eternal rewards? Log on today to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com and sign up yourself, your friends, and your family for a magazine that is bound to make a difference in their lives and the lives of those they meet. Share the faith. Defend the faith. Catholic Answers Magazine from Catholic Answers, the most trusted name in Catholic apologetics.
Call now with your question. 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. It is our big Monday show, and it's almost the end of January, so it's about to go away, that deal that they have on Trent's book, Persuasive Pro-Life, How to Talk About Our Culture's Toughest Issues, and his DVD, Making the Case for Life. Both each of those is on sale for only $5 at shop.catholic.com because it's Sanctity of Life Month. So if you'd like to get one of Trent Horn's two fine pro-life materials, Persuasive Pro-Life, How to Talk About Our Culture's Toughest Issue, that's the book, and the DVD, Making the Case for Life, each just $5 for a few more days over at shop.catholic.com. Our topic this hour, why God still matters. And we go now to David in Duluth, Minnesota. David, you are on with Carlo Broussard.
Hello, sir. Should I go ahead and ask my question?
Yes, David. Yeah. Thanks for giving us a call, by the way.
Yeah. Well, earlier you said that it was irrational for someone to say that the universe exists without God, and I don't believe in God. Okay. And part of the reason is that I see that the universe exists, but I don't feel like there's enough evidence to say that, you know, there's some kind of invisible giant floating around that got bored and decided to make people in a garden.
Okay.
And then, you know, there's this guy that just called about with the Lyme disease. I feel like that's one of many lines of evidence against God. But here's a kid who, as a child, he could have not only suffered but died.
Right.
What would he have learned from that experience? Why does this child deserve that? And what about all the fossil record in evolution and all the Bible contradictions and all the other lines of evidence against God? I think it's irrational to assert without any evidence that your particular God got lonely or something and decided to make Adam and Eve and a talking snake.
All right, David. Well, you threw out a lot there, brother, and I don't know if we're going to be able to touch on every single thing you proposed there, but there are a couple of things that I would point out initially. Number one, we would deny that God is a big invisible giant up there in the sky, because he's not up there in the sky, and he's not merely unseen. He's immaterial, which means he's outside of space. And the classical understanding of God is that he's eternal or atemporal, which means he's outside of time completely. And then secondly, God didn't get lonely. It's not that God was just twiddling his thumbs up there in the sky and then said, well, okay, I'm going to create Adam and Eve now. So those are two assumptions that we as atheists, at least of the classical sort, would deny. So I would reject that God too. I would reject the idea that God is some invisible giant up in the sky, such as, you know, like Thor or some sort of demigod or whatever. I would reject that too. That's not the God we believe in. I would also reject that God was just twiddling his thumbs and got bored, which would imply some sort of imperfection, and then happened to create Adam and Eve in order to perfect himself and make himself happy. I reject that God too. So your question or objection, however you want to look at it, is being proposed based on an assumption about God that we would reject as well. Because God, being the infinite being outside of all time and space, is eternal, and he is perfect within himself, and no thing outside of himself can perfect him. This is why, Sai, we say that God did not create necessarily. You know, the effects that come into being within the temporal modes of existence, you know, are by virtue of his infinite intellect and will, but he wills them as such because he doesn't will them necessarily. The effect doesn't necessarily follow from the cause, because God only necessarily wills himself, and all creatures he creates by freedom, by virtue of his free will. So effects or creations do not follow necessarily from God's essence, okay? So this is how we can explain the fact that you have Adam and Eve beginning, but an eternal God who from all eternity wills that Adam and Eve would come into existence at a particular time. But Adam and Eve's existence doesn't perfect God. God didn't get bored and thus have to create Adam and Eve in order to perfect himself, because he's infinitely perfect in himself. And one last line of reasoning, David, then I'll let you respond, is that you made the claim that there are no lines of evidence, no reason to think that God exists. But David, I would have to ask you, have you ever seriously considered the philosophical arguments for God's existence? For example, the argument from motion or change, the argument from efficient causality, the argument from contingent beings in the world, the argument from final causality, arguments such as St. Thomas Aquinas and other thinkers. Have you ever considered those sort of arguments? I'm not talking about like fine-tuning arguments or arguing intelligent design from complexity. I'm talking about arguments that start with features of the material world and then philosophically reason back to God's existence. Have you ever seriously considered those arguments?
So when you say motion, are you talking about the idea that everything has a cause and you can keep going back and back and back?
Well, not quite. I'm not saying that Okay. Everything has a cause. What I am saying is just starting with motion, change, and cause itself, and then saying whatever is caused must be caused by another, in which case, if God didn't exist, there would be an infinite series of caused causes. But there cannot be an infinite series of caused causes. Therefore, you know, not everything is cause-cause. There must be at least one uncaused cause. This is St. Thomas Aquinas' second way from efficient causality. His first way would be an Aristotelian form of whatever is moved by another, and then reasoning that there cannot be an infinite series of moved movers, and there would have to be a first mover that is not moved by another. That's the type of argument I'm referring to.
So there's philosophy, and then there's science. So when science tries to trace back the cause the causes, back. It gets stuck because it comes to a point where there isn't even time. And science doesn't know the answer. And so what scientists say at that point is, we don't know. But okay. what Christians say is, well, we know. There must be a guy. And let's say that he didn't create people out of loneliness. You can have whatever reason. We can debate the reasons. But there's an assumption that you're making that there's this guy, and you can define him in this way or that way, which, by the way, is very sophisticated, much more sophisticated than, say, the God as it was defined in the Old Testament. It seems to have evolved in its sophistication. But, the scientists say we don't know. Time is a funny thing. It's mixed up with space. We are beginning to understand it with Einstein, et cetera.
Sure, sure.
But we just say when we come to a question that we don't know, we just admit we don't know. We don't say we know. There's this guy, and it happens to be our particular religion.
All right.
Can I just say, though?
Yeah, go ahead,
I'm sorry to interrupt, but that's not what Carlo said. Carlo didn't say, I know because of my religion. He said, you can reason from the facts of this world to certain understandings about God.
Correct.
Did you hear Carlo say that or no?
He said that using philosophy, logic, but I was kind of trying to pull away from these medieval philosophers and talk about where science is today.
Okay, well, David, in bringing up science, that's an interesting point because in bringing up science, you're now shifting to a different type of line of reasoning than what I was presenting, because the fact that you're talking about pushing back in time and getting to this boundary to where scientists can no longer look beyond the boundary of the finite past, that's a different type of argument. That's called the Kalam cosmological argument. Trent Horn did some great work on that in his book, Answering Atheism, pulling from the great Christian apologist, Dr. William Lane Craig, who's pulling from medieval Islamic philosophers. David, the type of argument that I'm referring to is not looking back to a series of causes in the past, but looking to a series of causes that must be operating right here and right now in order for something to exist. And it's that sort of causal series that I am claiming cannot regress infinitely, but must have a first cause that imparts the causal power to every single other cause in the series, which explains the effect right here and right now. Now, that's a claim. We would have to work that out in order to argue for and against that. But just so that we have a clear understanding of what type of argument I'm referring to, and it is this type of argument that science simply has nothing to say about because this line of reasoning goes beyond the boundaries of philosophical inquiry. And finally, David, one thing I would leave you with this thought. Why must we get rid of philosophy? Why must we move away from philosophical thinking and restrict ourselves to only that which empirical science and its data can tell us about reality? Why would we have to do that? And whatever answer you give to that question, David, it's ultimately a philosophical answer. And so I would contend that in no way in principle can you get rid of philosophy in favor of science. I'm all in favor of science, but what I am saying is don't get rid of philosophy. And in fact, you can't get rid of philosophy.
Your response, David.
I'm not exactly advocating that we get rid of philosophy, but if you read any ancient philosopher, ancient text, ancient religious book, you can see a lot of logic, but a lot of times the lines of logic are based on faulty presuppositions that we've now disproven with science.
Okay.
And so I think science and philosophy can sort of work hand in hand. And I think it's also funny that you're appealing to some kind of argument about causality, and yet it's not causality. And it's difficult for me to understand. And why would God expect me to try to follow this strange line of thinking to the point where if I get it wrong, I burn in hell forever.
And that's a false assumption. We're running out of time here, David, but fundamentally, if you make an intellectual error, if you're not responsible for that error, brother, God will not hold you accountable. So don't think that just because you make an intellectual error and you don't arrive at the knowledge of God's existence, you're automatically going to hell. That's a false assumption.
David, sorry we got to go, but we're here every day. Give us a call another time, 888-318-7884. Carlo Brucehart, thanks for a really great hour.
Thank you, Si. It was a pleasure, my friend.
And next hour, we continue with our fantastic Monday show. Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione will be here, Archbishop of San Francisco. We're going to talk about beauty and liturgy and beautiful liturgy when we come back on Catholic Answers Live.